This is Health Radio.
Health Radio.
On Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Here's Melanie Cole.
You know, screening for various types of cancer has gotten more complicated and more common over the years because there are certain tests that are now considered standard, not something to really be afraid of. But which of the five, if you had to pick, cancer screenings are absolutely most important and the ones that you should not miss? My guest today is Dr. Wayne Riley. He's the president of the American College of Physicians, the nation's largest medical specialty organization. Welcome to the show, Dr. Riley. So, let's start
with
breast cancer.
Thank you, Melanie. Delighted to be with you and your listeners.
Well, thank you. And breast cancer, I mean, mammograms, what age, and is this still the standard? What about some of the controversy?
Well, breast cancer is, of course, a major concern for all physicians and many patients and their families. And what we've done with specifically looking at breast cancer, we looked at all the organizations that issue guidelines with regard to breast cancer screening strategies, such as mammograms, breast self-examination, and so forth. And what we've determined is that in most cases, for average risk, and I underscore average risk, Melanie, that means a woman who has no family history of breast cancer, sister, aunt, grandmother, et cetera, that women who fit that bill can actually have a slightly lower intensity screening for breast cancer. In other words, based on their age, let's say from age 40 to 49, there should be a discussion between the woman and her physician as to whether screening with a mammogram is appropriate at that time. Now, as women get older, however, we do recommend between 50 and 74 that women be offered a biennial, meaning every other year, mammogram as an appropriate screening strategy. So we think this is what we describe as delivering a high-value screening test for an average-risk patient.
Okay, so moving on, and I the next one is very important to me. I've been getting my colonoscopies, Dr. Riley, for years. I'm 51. I've been getting them into my 30s because it runs in my family and Crohn's and all of these things. People are afraid of this test, but it's now, because of the Affordable Care Act, part of a care preventive routine, which I'm thrilled of because they're very expensive, but not as big a deal, right? Colonoscopies, not that big a deal.
Absolutely not. I've had two myself. The preparation tends to be a little more difficult than the actual test, but what we do find, even among our patients, is that there's a fear of having a colonoscopy, and I assure my patients it is a wonderful test done under wonderful conditions with trained gastroenterologists and trained nursing and other staff in a good setting. It is an important test to get every 10 years. More closely, if you have a family history of colon cancer, or you yourself have had discovery of colon polyps on a previous test or other abnormalities. So again, screening colonoscopy is an excellent screening test for colon cancer. There are other screening modalities, one of which you may recall is the fecal occult blood test, where you're testing with little cards at home and then you mail them in to your physician or primary care provider.
I remember that.
Yeah, so that's inappropriate in some patients. And also a barium enema can be another screening test, and also flexible sigmoidoscopy, which is a shorter scope that tends to be done in an office setting as opposed to a more controlled setting for colonoscopy. But again, colon cancer is still one of the top five cancers in the United States, so we do think it's important that there be an appropriate level of cancer screening, colon cancer screening. And again, that's a great conversation to have with your doctor.
It is, and it's also one of the preventable. I mean, that's an actual, they're calling that a prevention. And again, it is not that big a deal, the prep, whatever. But you wake up 10 seconds after it's done and you say, when are you starting? And the doctor says, we're already done.
Exactly.
Now, the next one, I mean, it happens every time. Cervical cancer. Now, they are not doing this pap smear as often as they were, right, Dr. Riley? Because if you're not at risk for HPV, now they're finding that a pap smear is not necessarily necessary every year?
That's correct. The American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology and our own organization, which I represent, the American College of Physicians, says that there could be a loosening of the intensity of cervical cancer screening, particularly in women who've had a hysterectomy. What we find is that there's a lot of pap smears done on women who no longer have a cervix, which sort of, you know, is sort of counterintuitive. But clearly, cervical cancer screening, because of some of the newer technologies now, particularly to detect HPV, which we know is the leading sort of bad agent that leads to the development of cervical cancer, can be picked up much easily, or as easily, even if there's a little longer time period with the screening, particularly if you're not considered of high risk. Average risk women, you know, in a monogamous sexual relationship should not have to have HPV screening as frequently. Obviously, if there are multiple sexual partners over a one-year period or a short period of time, that may indicate, again, that there needs to be a tighter interval for cervical cancer screening. But again, this is a wonderful conversation to have with your physician in terms of what fits you.
Prostate cancer, okay. We women, Dr. Riley, are the ones who shove our men into the urologist or into their doctor. Hopefully he doesn't have big hands. They hate that digital. They hate getting their prostates checked, but it's so important right as they get older. And please tell us about the PSAs. That's still the standard. And some of the other, I mean, now there's genetic markers, PCA3, and some of these others that are just as simple as a PSA. What are we looking at for prostate cancer?
Correct, Melanie. We really had some major advances in some of the diagnostic approaches to prostate cancer. So again, in average risk men, we know that the first thing that's appropriate is the digital rectal examination in the office setting with a physician. We appreciate the women in our lives pestering us appropriately to go see a doctor, first of all,
to establish
a relationship. You guys do it so well, and that's why we call you the chief medical officers of the household. So continue that. Now, with regard to average risk men, we do know that it's probably sufficient to stick with a digital rectal examination. If there's no abnormality detected on the digital rectal abnormality, the discussion then would be, should I get a PSA or should I not? And we know that in average risk men, there may be a baseline taking or obtaining of a PSA, and it may not need to be repeated for maybe a year, 2 years, 3 years down the road because that man is of average risk. Now, again, all bets are off if the men in your life have a father, a brother, or an uncle who have prostate cancer. They are not considered high risk. Or if you're African-American men, African-American men have the highest rates of prostate cancer in the world. They are not considered average risk. So obviously, tighter screening, more frequent use of PSA and some of the new PSA markers are appropriate in those settings. And again, that's a great conversation to make sure your doctor understands your family history, particularly with regard to breast, cervical, and prostate cancer, because that'll be part of the decision tree as to what to recommend to you.
So those cancers we've gone over, breast cancer, mammograms, colorectal cancer, colonoscopies, cervical cancer, pap smears, prostate cancer, a digital and a PSA. We only have a minute left, Dr. Riley, and ovarian cancers on this list. So please give us your best advice for these cancer screenings and that discussion to have with your doctor. And ovarian cancer, there's not really a screening, is there?
Yeah, unfortunately, this is one of the more frustrating things that we encounter in medicine is ovarian cancer. Because by the time women have symptoms, generally the cancer is at an advanced stage. So there's some amazing research underway in some great academic health science centers and pharmaceutical companies and research institutes that's looking at, are there earlier markers to detect ovarian cancer before it is bad for the patient? So again, the family history is key. If you have a family history of ovarian cancer, or a family history of both ovarian and breast cancer, that should send up bells and whistles in the minds of your primary care physician and general internist that, hey, we need to look into your particular situation a little closely. So again,
absolutely.
Dr.
Riley, and you're such a great guest, and I'd really love to have you on again. Thank you so much for being with us. You're listening to Health Radio on Radio MD. Stay well.